In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is risen. The Apostle Paul writes in his epistle to the Romans the fact that rarely will one die for a righteous man, though perhaps for someone who is righteous, someone might actually give up their life. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We recognize that Christ's life and his death ultimately demonstrate the great love of God for each of us. All of Christ's life was leading him to that final climactic week of his passion. It led to those final hours suspended upon the cross. Christ's life was all the while leading to his sacrificial death, a final culmination of God's saving plan, a demonstration of God's love. And thus it is we make this great Lenten journey that we've made over the past weeks to journey to Christ's passion, to return and remember what Christ has done for us in his passion. And all of the self-denial that we embrace over the course of the season is focused upon Christ and upon the cross that he is going to embrace for us. We focus on how much Christ suffered for us, what he sacrificed for us and for our salvation. And we remember that this is the greatest demonstration of God's love for us, how he lays down his life for us, his friends. Truly, there is no greater love that could be found or demonstrated. When we remember Christ's passion and crucifixion, we're reminded of God's love. But we must likewise remember that we must love God in return. Love is not a one-way street, but love, in fact, is a two-way street. We receive and we give love. It's a great thing to be a recipient of God's love. There is no doubt about that. But we don't just recline and drink it all in selfishly without responding with our own love bestowed back upon our Lord. Yes, God does indeed love us more than we can possibly imagine. But Christ also taught us that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. How can we respond to Christ's great gift of the cross? What can we give to Christ when he has given everything for us? We can give the gift of love in return. This is, in a sense, why this celebration on this Sunday is so important to us. It's a reminder of this reality. The gospel text today reminds us of the myrrh-bearing women and what they did for Christ. It reminds us of what Joseph of Arimathea did for Christ. They demonstrated their love for Christ in a very tangible and practical way. Joseph took Christ's body down from the cross, prepared it for burial, placed it in a tomb. Then we read about the fact that they're early on the first day of the week, on that first Paschal Sunday, the myrrh bearers came to the tomb to anoint Christ's body with spices. These were acts of respect, of devotion, of true and utter love for Christ. It's a demonstration of pure and unselfish love. Father Hopko makes the point that we recognize that it is truly an unselfish act, an unselfish love that they demonstrate, because they truly expect nothing in return. Because after all, what can a dead corpse give you in return? Absolutely nothing. And thus we recognize Joseph prepared Christ's body. He buried it expecting nothing in return. The myrrh bearers come to the tomb to anoint Christ expecting nothing in return. It was an unselfish devotion being expressed, a demonstration of pure and unselfish love. Christ had done so much for each of them. Christ had reached deep into each of their hearts. Christ had connected them with each of them, showing them what their lives could be. And many of them had tragic personal histories that they brought before meeting Christ, that they lived before encountering Christ. We recognize in the story of Mary Magdalene how Christ had actually driven from her 7 demons. What a tortured existence she must have lived before that encounter with Christ. Christ had given each one of them life, real life. And they were forever changed. And they, in turn, developed a great love for Christ. But then they came face to face with the reality that Christ was crucified. Of course, we know that this was according to the will of God, and we know that this was a fulfillment of God's plan of salvation. But in those moments, they did not know this. It was not yet fully revealed to them. They did not fully understand the plan of God here. They were no doubt devastated and heartbroken. But they still, in that context of being devastated, they were still able to muster the strength and respond and give Christ a proper burial. Christ couldn't bury himself. Those that loved him had to bury him. And they mustered the strength to give him at least that. It is indeed a demonstration of pure and unselfish love. I'm sure all of us have experienced some point in life where we've observed someone who uses charm to manipulate someone to get what they want out of them, right? People can behave in all sorts of ways and do all sorts of things when they believe that there's something that they're going to get out of the exchange, that there's something that's going to come back to them in return. I think on some level we're all guilty of doing just that. And certainly, when it comes to our relationship with God, we're often looking to get something out of it for ourselves. We come to God because we need to experience His love. We come to Him because we need to experience His peace. We come to God because we feel guilty and we need to experience His forgiveness. Or we're lacking something and we need His provision to supply our needs. Or we lack the wisdom to solve the problem that we're facing and we want God to be our problem solver. We go to God expecting Him, wanting Him to give to us. And it's true. We need to do this. It's right to do this. We need those things from God. We need His love. We need His peace. We need His forgiveness. We need His provision and His ability to solve our problems, His wisdom to be infused into our lives. We need all of these things from God. But that's not the end of the story. And that must not be the end of the story. We don't just receive from God and constantly come to Him looking to get something from God without recognizing our responsibility is to give back to God. We must love God in return. We must strive to follow that great command to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. If we do not do that, if we don't strive to meet that first and greatest commandment to love the Lord our God, then what we are is a mere observer of Christ. Perhaps we've even become a fan of Christ. But think about it. Christ did not come into this world to build a fan base, did He? Christ came into this world to make disciples. And what's the difference between a fan and a disciple? A fan looks for entertainment from this individual that they supposedly adore. But a disciple does far more than that, don't they? Disciples do more than listen and take. Disciples listen and respond by following the commands that Christ gives to us, by giving love in return. Disciples do more than just listen, and they do more than just receive. They give back as well. And the myrrh bearers and Joseph of Arimathea, even Nicodemus, who we commemorate today, who had a doubtful beginning with Christ, we see him coming to Him in the early chapters of John's Gospel by night because he doesn't want the Pharisees to know that he's asking Christ these questions. But in the end, the myrrh bearers, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, they all demonstrate that they are true disciples of Christ. They loved without expecting anything to be given to them in return. And every once in a while, it's good for us to be reminded of this reality, that though God is our provider, though God supplies so much in our life, and though God gives far more to us than we could ever give back, we need to be reminded that we still need to attempt to give back. It's how we give thanks to Him and show that we're truly grateful for all that He has given to us. We can't selfishly take and take and take without ever responding and giving back to God. We too must strive to love God without looking for some payoff. We must find a pure and unselfish love and a devotion for our Lord. Christ has done so much for each of us. If you haven't experienced this, then I simply encourage you this morning that Christ is willing and able to work in each one of our lives, and He's willing to work in your life. You simply have to open your heart to Him, and He will demonstrate the same thing in your life. Christ has given everything for us and for our salvation. And each one of us must likewise consider how we must love Him in return. How each of us must follow that first and greatest commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Christ has demonstrated his great love for us by giving his very life for us. Let us likewise demonstrate our love for Christ. Let us likewise give our life to Christ. Let us offer our love and our life as sweet-smelling myrrh offered to our risen Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.